When you've been in ministry as long as I have, you don't have many new firsts. But certainly this is the first time I'm giving my last sermon to a church where I've been rector for over 30 years. What on earth is appropriate to share on the day of your retirement? Now, initially, I started to look at some of the succession stories in the Bible. Perhaps I should preach on the passage at the end of Exodus where Moses hands over to Joshua. And Moses did it by singing a very long song and then giving a very long blessing. If we'd been physically together, I would have wanted to make some big dramatic action. I would have arranged for me to get into a chariot of fire, take off my leather jacket, fling it onto the ground for Ollie to pick up and to get the symbolic double anointing that he deserves. Now, but maybe that would be a bit extreme. I certainly thought about speaking on Paul's words of succession that he gave to Timothy, his words of advice. So I could, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, so I could say to Ollie, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. And then I could quote Paul's final words, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now, the trouble with those succession stories was that that the person who was being succeeded was either dead or about to die. Not necessarily a very good example for me to follow. But seriously, I only knew for definite what I was going to preach on my last words when I was preparing to preach my second to last sermon. A couple of weeks ago, we were looking at Romans chapter 12. And then one of the verses in that whole section that I spoke on jumped out of me and sprang into my heart and released something in my spirit that I wanted to share with you. It is one of my life verses. And I want to use the version that I first read it in, that I memorized it in, that means something to me, to preach it to you. So I'm reading Romans 12, verse 11 in the RSV, because there it says, never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. I just love that. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. If in the future I hear people talk about Mungo's church, that's what I want to hear them say. What a church. They never flag in zeal. They're aglow with the Spirit. They serve the Lord. So it's my last message to St. Mungo's Church as a whole. But of course, the church is made up of individuals, people. So it's actually a personal message to you. But again, put your name there right at the front. So please, will you never flag in zeal? Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. So let's look at this amazing verse, this text, which of course falls perfectly into a three-point sermon. Be passionate, be on fire with the Spirit, be servant-hearted. So number one, be passionate. It says never flag in zeal. I thought of the joke, I could take it entirely out of context and spend time talking about flags and the use of flags in worship. Finishing my talk with a talk on never flag would certainly be remembered, but don't forget, I love flags. What became, unknowingly to me, my last trip to Toronto, I spent time with all those who flagged. But of course, in this context, the word flag is an idiom for slowing down, losing momentum, losing energy, stopping. Don't flag in zeal. It's a summons to be passionate and enthusiastic in your Christian faith. Significantly, this was the text for one of my first sermons I ever gave. I might have been 18, 19, 20, and preached on the place of zeal in the Christian life. It was a cracker. I'm sure I plagiarized most of it from the classic Operation Mobilization book, True Discipleship by William MacDonald. Because I remember a quote in there that says, a disciple can be forgiven if he does not have great mental ability. He can be forgiven if he does not display outstanding physical prowess. But no disciple can be excused if he does not have zeal. If his heart is not aflame with red-hot passion for the Saviour, he stands condemned. And that stirred me up, and I remember that. And I gave it to some students, to some young people If I might say so, it was quite a motivator. Together we were going to change the world. A lot has happened since that first sermon. Today is 2021 and I ask myself, am I as zealous now as I was then? Am I as zealous for serving the Lord now that I was, as I stand in front of you? There's a hymn that whenever I sing it, there's a verse, there's a line in a hymn. And this verse always comes to my mind as a hymn that says, revive us, Lord, is zeal abating? Revive us, Lord, is zeal abating? Is it? I want to ask some of you who've been Christians a long time, are you as zealous as you once were? Or are you beginning to flag? Well, today's the day you need to decide to finish well, full of zeal. Or maybe you've been distracted and diverted from the kind of Christian you once were. Or even there may be someone listening and you know you've almost given up on being a Christian altogether. Or maybe you have, you're a prodigal. Is this God speaking to you today to start again? You've been reminded of what you once were, the promises you once made, and God is asking you again to be as full of zeal. So our verse clearly says, never flag, never be lacking in zeal. It is a command, and it makes it quite clear that we must be passionate. It can be translated, do not be lazy, do not be apathetic, be diligent in showing enthusiasm, have unflagging energy. We're touching here a real issue for Christians. How can you stay enthusiastic for the long haul? Week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. What I often call that long obedience in the same direction. And these verses tell me that I must face up to my weariness or my discouragement, and that the early Christians faced exactly the same. We assume that early Christians were constantly super active and passionate. But here is Paul revealing his heart about what was a radical church, the Roman church. He's going, you know, you can so easily lose your cutting edge. Actually says, by the way, of course, that we are responsible for changing it. Never be lacking in zeal. I'm not allowed to shrug my shoulders and say, well, that's life, or the pressure of work or Zoom calls or family or COVID. Well, you don't expect me to be. Yes, the Bible does. This says, Malcolm, don't flag in the race or be lazy and slothful. Unfortunately, this puts a responsibility back onto me. I'm not allowed to stay unenthusiastic or apathetic or for very long. I can't say, well, I just don't like watching things online or Zoom or going onto Zoom calls. See, I'm responsible for what I must do to keep motivated. I have a command of God. I've got to do what I can to change the situation. I'm responsible for my own motivation, not the church's duty to keep me highly effective all the time. It is my responsibility. Malcolm, don't be lacking in zeal. And of course, I'm going to be facing a whole, and I don't know how I'm going to be facing a whole new set of challenges. How do I keep spiritually enthusiastic when I no longer have the daily structure and the daily demands of ministry, which gave me almost some outside pressure to keep enthusiastic? I've got to learn how to be enthusiastic and zealous without that pressure that came with my ministry and lifestyle that's been there and that's all been taken away. How can I be enthusiastic for the Lord in retirement? So this is a talk for me. I'm preaching to me. And may I say something that's still in my mind, I've got to say this carefully. Taking funerals is a great privilege. And since Christmas, I've had taken two funeral services and they were both of older retired men. And they were men who I want to emulate. Both Hugh and Phil were examples to me of what it meant for men to never flag in zeal, to finish well. They were passionate for Jesus to the end. They loved to worship. They loved to serve. They were passionate. They give me a model of what I want to still become. So I'm setting myself a challenge to find specific ways, spiritual disciplines, new habits to make sure I do not flag in zeal at this point in my life, that I stay a disciple. And I want to challenge you to do exactly the same, or whatever age or stage you're at. What are you going to do to make sure that you do not flag in zeal? Decide today that you will not flag in zeal in 2021. You see, this is a time of change and of challenge in the life of St. Mungo's Church. And therefore, the church needs to be full of individual people who are zealous and enthusiastic and passionate for the king and for the kingdom. But I do believe the next part of our passage gives us one specific thing that we can all do to stay zealous. So point two, be on fire with the Spirit. Be aglow with the Spirit. I believe we need to be as on fire with the Spirit. I believe I need to be as on fire with the Spirit as I enter retirement, as I was when I was a new Spirit-filled, converted teenager. Am I still as zealous? Now, the first thing I want to say about this part of the text is there are two ways in which this part of the text can be translated. Because the word for Spirit, that means breath or wind, can apply to the human Spirit as well as the Holy Spirit. And it's the context that tells us which it is. And this is one of the very few verses, there's another one in 1 Corinthians 14, new few verses in the New Testament where the context allows both. And so when I preached in passing on this text 2 weeks ago, I used the other translation, which means the first and the second clause are just two ways of saying the same thing. So this could be saying, keep your spiritual fervor, a bit like be zealous. But today I'm taking it the other way, which means this is how to stay zealous, is to be aglow with the Spirit. Now, even my theological hero, Gordon Fee, can't quite decide. So he says, I've opted for the inelegant, be fervent in Spirit, big S / little s. Now, of course, when the Apostle Paul, who is so careful with words, writes something this way, you can be assured he means both. So he's basically saying, let your spirit be fired up by the Holy Spirit. Let your human spirit be fired up by the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm taking in line with most of the scholars and the Bible teachers who say this. For instance, John Stott says, in telling Romans to be aglow with the Spirit, he's almost certainly referring to the Holy Spirit. Scottish writer F.F. Bruce, it is right to take this as a reference to the Holy Spirit. Another commentator, Paul urges us to be set on fire in or by the Spirit. Well, the Spirit can refer to the human spirit in light of reference to the Lord in the next bit of the verse. This probably refers to the Holy Spirit, the agent who inflames our passion for the Lord and his work. What a great quote. The Holy Spirit is the agent who inflames our passion for the Lord and his work. I certainly want my passion inflamed for the Lord. I've always taken this verse this way because that's how I first read the verse. For many of us, the first version of the Bible that we use is the one we become a Christian, the one that sticks because we remember it most. We've memorized the verses like that. And it was all fresh and everything stuck there. And as a brand new Christian, I've been taught about the person, the work of the Holy Spirit by this bunch of sold out Jesus freaks, people from the Jesus movement, the Jesus people I became a Christian with. And they gave me a Bible and it was in the what we call the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, or really sound version. That was the one commonly used among evangelicals. I remember turning, I think I even underlined this verse because I knew it as Romans 12:11. Said, be aglow with the Spirit. And that stayed with me. It's helped my thinking and kept my passion, especially as those same people who became Christians helped me to experience what this meant. They prayed for me. So I had my, what you call my first firing up of the Spirit, my first filling, what I call my baptism in the Spirit. When I was like on fire with the Spirit, I started speaking in tongues, I was praising God. And it was so experiential. I thought if people looked at me, I'd actually be glowing. That's how I felt. I felt aglow, on fire with the Spirit. But here, it's not how you start the experience. This is about your continuing experience. This is a command to the ongoing Christian life, where you need to continually be set afire. As I said, I love the Amplified translation that says, be aglow and burning with the Spirit. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. What a metaphor. J.B. Phillips says, let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning. And this has been one of my ministry messages that's been in my heart. I've cried out over St. Mungo's for over 30 years. And now it's one of the last things I want to say to you. Stay on fire with the Spirit. Mungo's, be aglow and burning with the Spirit. When I think of that image of being aglow, I think of volcanoes, you know, when especially the ones pictured at night, when the glowing, burning lava pouring down like a molten river of lava that's aglow. Do you know, in Scotland, we're surrounded by those glowing lava that is no longer glowing. It's gone cold and solid. You weather the Pennon Hills just behind me are largely made up of igneous rocks from great lava intrusions before they went solid and hard. I don't want to go cold and hard. And I don't want you to go cold and hard. I want you to stay aglow in the spirit. So what helps you keep on fire with the spirit? How do you keep yourself fueled and aflame in the spirit in a real and experiential and impactful way that impacts how you live for the Lord? Well, if I'd been preaching this time last year, I'd have said, let's have a ministry time right now. In the midst of the worship, let's invite the Spirit to come. And I'd want to pray and lay hands upon you for a glowing the Spirit. I would have, if it had been in the morning, I would have perhaps lined everybody up and down the concourse. If it had been an evening, I'd have had a fire tunnel. And boy, are we not looking forward to the chance of meeting again. I'm looking forward. I'm praying for the day when Ollie will lead you in a fire tunnel. But one of the things I've learned this year is, how can I stay on fire when I'm not physically surrounded by my brothers and sisters? Because often they release faith and belief and expectation. When I'm not in live worship that creates an atmosphere and the presence of God that's so real. When I can't have someone lay hands upon me and anoint me and impart something of the Spirit. Well, I've learned to work even harder at receiving on my own. So my regular devotional times, I intentionally and regularly ask for a filling of the Spirit, that the Lord will fire me. I say, more, Lord, give me more of your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I invite the Spirit to fill me and refresh me. And have the faith and expectation that something will happen. I certainly pray in tongues more than I've ever done before, because I find that stirs up my human spirit to receive a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. And then in our online services on a Sunday morning, in the middle of sung worship, I will deliberately at some point just put my hands out and just receive a fresh filling. And now, of course, we've got our evening online soaking sessions. Will you let that become another place? I'm going to let that become another place where I fan into flame the fire of the Spirit. So I urge you and I beg you to intentionally and deliberately find ways to obey this command to be aglow and burning with the Spirit. The book I quoted earlier, True Discipleship, in the chapter on zeal, the other bit of it that I remember was there was a prayer in there, a prayer that I have prayed many times that stuck with me from my earliest Christian days. It was a prayer by a guy called Jim Elliot, who is a martyr in Ecuador, killed by the very indigenous tribesmen who he was sharing the gospel with. But he, a few years before, had written, "Saturate me with the oil of the Spirit that I may be aflame." What a prayer. Saturate me, Lord, with the oil of the Spirit that I may be aflame. That's a prayer I have prayed many times, and that's a prayer I'm praying now. Will you do the same? But now, thirdly, the reason we need to be aglow with the Spirit, on fire with the Spirit, is it's the best way for us to serve the Lord. So number three, be servant-hearted, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord means thoroughgoing devotion. There's nothing half-hearted in the language here. Good News Translation says, serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. We've got to be passionate about our devotion to serve the Lord. We're commanded to not flag in that passion and zeal, to stay fired up in the Spirit. Why? Because the real purpose for all this is so that we can serve the Lord better, to be equipped and empowered to serve the Lord. And notice it's all about him, the Lord. It's Jesus who's the Lord. It's to serve his needs. I think we just need just for a moment to remember what it means to make Jesus our master and Lord. What it means to declare Jesus is my Lord. To really come under his lordship in every area of our life. Every relationship, every decision, every motivation, every choice must come from this service of him, that we are disciples who has Jesus as their Lord. This will also be about creating effective service. Effective service needs fervent, enthusiastic, zealous, spirit-filled, persevering people. Persevering in service. The word translated here to serve means serve like a slave. Tom Wright translates it, work as slaves for the Lord. So this is encouraging us for a thoroughgoing devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing half-hearted about this word. It means effectively serving Jesus with a passion and contagious enthusiasm and wholeheartedness as we do as a servant, and we can do it in and through the local church. What an amazing impact St. Mungo's in the future will have when it's full of people who are continually serving the Lord with a contagious enthusiasm. I'll finish in a moment, but before I finish, I do have to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord? You might be listening today, and maybe for the first time it started on you, do you know, I want to follow Jesus this way. I want to serve him completely and passionately. I have a yearning to enter into a destiny, but I don't know how to start. I wouldn't call myself a committed Christian. I don't know what it means in the way that this is being described as. Well, you might be listening, but you've never taken that step to become a follower of Jesus Christ. You haven't made Jesus your Lord. But you ought to, because Jesus loves you so much. He loves you so much that he died a horrific and painful death on the cross just for you. He shed his blood. He sacrificed his life just for you so that you can have your sins forgiven, your shame healed. You can discover that you are loved. You can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can be reconciled to your Heavenly Father and receive the offer of eternal life in the future and a real meaningful life now. The most important thing I can ask you in my final service is, will you make Jesus your Lord and Saviour? Will you serve him for the rest of your life? So I'm going to finish in a moment, but I'm going to put a prayer up on the screen. The prayer I've read out many times, but I want to read it out again. I want to pray it out. And if we can put it up now, I just want it to be there because I want you to have a look at it. I want you to look at that prayer. And if you want to become a Christian for the first time this morning, then I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. Pray it out loud if you wish to. Pray it quietly in your mind. As I pray it out, make it your own prayer to make Jesus your Lord so that you can serve him. And the prayer is this prayer, and I'll pray it, and you can pray it along with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you, you died on the cross for me so that I might be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, whether you're watching this locally or across the world, please will you contact me through the church's inquiries email address so I can encourage you and help you. And certainly, if you know a committed Christian, can you text them or WhatsApp them right now to tell them what you've done? Do it right now. Don't stop. Just get your phone out and tell someone who you know is a committed Christian that you've made that prayer of faith. It will seal the deal. I've got to conclude now. Our text is an amazing text. It's been a life text for me, and I hope it will become a life text for you. It's beautifully and poetically translated in the Passion version. So these are my last words to everyone in St. Mungo's. Romans 12, verse 11 in the Passion. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion towards him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit. Let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. These are my words for you. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion towards him boiling hot. radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit. Let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. That's my prayer for each and every one of you. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. And years to come, I want to hear people keep telling me what an amazing church St. Mungo's is. Everyone is full of zeal, aglow with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Now let me close by praying for you. And I encourage you just to receive. I'm going to invite the Spirit to come and fill you and fire you up, that you'll get a fresh passion so to serve the Lord and receive in whatever way is right for you. If you want to just stay seated, just stay seated, put your hands out. You might want to stand up. You might want to kneel. But I'm going to invite the Spirit and let the Spirit come upon you in whatever way is right for you. It might touch you physically or emotionally or spiritually. So we pray, Lord Jesus, will you send your Spirit upon us once again, that he might light a fire in us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and fill us afresh. Lord, fill me, and Lord, as I pray, in faith, thank you, Lord, we don't have to create an atmosphere. In faith, we can receive right now where we are. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. Will you fire us up with your Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit. And just start to receive afresh. If you have a prayer language, just pray out in tongues. Pray out in English. Pray out in your own language. We know we have people from many language groups. Just pray to the Lord that he will fill you. Recommit yourself to him now. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We welcome you. We want more, Lord, so that we can serve you. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. And now I want to speak, as you receive, a Father's blessing over you. Physical and spiritual Father, I want to just bless you. Lord, I just want to bless my brothers and sisters, my dear, beloved brothers and sisters in St. Mungo's. I just want to speak a blessing over them, that there will be this blessing of Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit power. Come, Holy Spirit, just bless this church. Bless its future. May this church never flag in zeal, be aglow with the Spirit, serving you, the Lord. Amen. And we're going to keep in this atmosphere of prayer and receiving as we sing our final hymn, O Breath of God. And it is a prayer for St. Mungo's Church. Will you sing this for yourself, but for St. Mungo's Church? A prayer for God's Spirit, God's breath, God's fire, to revive us and renew us together. Let's stand and sing this hymn, O Breath of God.